Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
But the number is 603-283-6160. We have a couple callers, actually, with questions for the guest. He's our Javier Malay expert, Scott. But first, I wanted to tell you that Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin.
Nikki.
And Scott.
Yeah,
I'm not in the studio, right?
Yeah, he's not in the studio. Yeah, good point. We have him remotely.
To tell everybody, what a knowledgeable person Scott is on Malay, he's been following him for such a long time. He was taking the tantric sex courses before even I was.
Wow, yeah.
That is a joke. No, but, like, he actually followed him before he was crazy popular, and I feel like I got to get down there before all the libertarians are going there. I really think that that's going to start happening. All the libertarians are going to go there, and then they'll be cooler than me, and I'll have to work extra hard. I'll have to get a picture with Malay to end up any cooler than them, and I am going to do that. I'm going to manifest that.
My father-in-law has known Malay since my father-in-law is a PhD academic. He's actually an Austrian economist, which is really
great. Wait, is he Austrian or Argentinian?
He's Argentinian that studies Austrian economics.
Thank you. Way cooler than me.
And he's known Malay for like 10 years. So they have a degrees from the same university, actually. So they had the same professors, and it's one of the universities that actually teaches free market economics.
Well,
in Argentina.
That's crazy. Is there even one in the United States?
There's a bunch of different professors who are
George Mason has free markets. They actually have free markets in George Mason.
They're all around. There's one at the University of Missouri in Columbia, and
I had them.
Oh, you did?
My professors were actually libertarian. Yeah, that's how I became a libertarian.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a professor and you're libertarian, you're almost completely going to be in, like, the economics department because they don't exist anywhere else. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, like the theater teachers that are libertarians.
The gender studies libertarian teacher.
You did say that you have had a comment from the last segment, so let's get into that, and then we'll get into the comments.
What exactly were we, I had a great comment, but what exactly were we talking about?
About the people who say he's like a fake or something like that. Malay?
Oh yeah, I do have a great comment. Here's what they do in these South American countries is what will happen is the ruling party will destroy the economy so bad. And then what they'll do is they'll let somebody like a free market person win, and then the economy just falls apart on them. So with Malay, that's what they're hoping that happens is the economy is so bad, like it has so many debts, and the currency was basically hyperinflating when Malay took office. It was going at a 15,000% a year.
You set those trends in motion long before there's a momentum and they keep going too. I think the people who were in were planning something even worse, you know, as far as like the IMF bailouts that they got for like $45 billion that they blew within, what, like 6 months? And I think they were going to try to purposefully put the country into debt and then force it onto a CBDC. And that's another thing, too. People are saying, he's like not real or whatever. He's just going to let us down or whatever. I'm like, you have to think about who the other guy was. The other guy was actually open. Yeah, he was openly saying he was going to put the country on a CBDC. This is a little bit like a repudiation of that.
The one thing Massa said about inflation is that they're going to solve it with a central bank digital currency. Who said it?
Wow.
Argentina is like the WEF, like it was like the WEF paradise because all the leagues do really well, like the WEF people and all the people, everybody else is really poor. And Milei, you know, has come out against all that. He's doesn't believe in climate change. He said that Agenda 2030 is a socialist hellhole. Like, you know, basically the ruling party didn't really want to touch. They're letting him rule partly because they know the economy is so bad that they don't actually want to rule right now. And then what happened is Milei is actually changing. He's actually cutting spending and all this stuff. So he's actually like, you know, he's going way farther than they ever thought he would. So he actually might turn them around and it might backfire in their faces, letting him get elected.
Yeah, I do know at least one person who has said, oh, he's going to fail and then bring in anarcho-capitalism down with him. Like, that's their idea of what the psyops would be. And I really hope that that's not it. I think that's just a very black-pilled way to look at things.
No, like, the other two parties had disgraced themselves. It was a really unique situation. The ruling party, what felt like they could never lose. They got lazy, and they weren't, you know. And if the economy is that bad and everybody is totally against the your party and about to like have like a revolution, like that's when you actually get some changes.
Well, let's go to the callers because we have an actual communist on the line, Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, what did you want to tell Scott and Colin here about how communism is good, actually?
Oh, yes. You know, communism, I'm a socialist, and then they're behind, like, free lunch programs, like having everybody have food. Social security is communism.
Sorry, so the guest is asking what's going on. So basically you're saying that socialism is good because they're behind giving people free lunches. What do you guys have to say to that?
I mean, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody's paying for it somewhere. The food comes from somewhere. Even if it take money out of the equation, there's a guy that has to grow that stuff. You know, and so he's just going to slave in the soil. Is he a slave to these people to grow food for them?
Right, but it's a matter of a communism. It does come from somewhere else, but it helps people that need food. So all of the children get food. Like in New Mexico, I think all of the kids get free lunches and breakfast. And then you don't have to apply all of the kids, so they don't get bullied and picked on. So all the so it's kind of like a communist a socialist state here. What is wrong with that? So in a communist country, doctors, like,
I mean, what do you think will happen to a generation of people that just get, you know, stuff for free? Do you think that?
Oh, Sarah's always saying that everyone in New Mexico is stupid and depressed and drunk.
Yeah, and then, the thing about it is that, you know, you're encouraged to work and volunteer as you are able.
Encouraged.
To communist model. Kind of model is that you receive according to your needs, and then you perform and work according to your ability.
How do we know what people's needs and abilities are?
Well, I mean, you know, doesn't people have their natural likes and talent, and people contribute the way that they're able to?
Yeah, but I mean, there's so, like let me put it this way. I have like a degree in engineering, and so I could do a lot of things like with circuits and things like that. So I could like build a lot of things for people. But there's other things I like more than that, like writing music. So, you know, what do you think is going to help people more, me writing music or me doing the other thing? You know, like just because people have abilities,
you know,
doesn't mean they want to do it, you know?
Well, in a communist country, you contribute to what you feel is the best for the community, is a commune.
Let me tell you this, too. Nobody likes the music I like. So if I had a choice between doing engineering work, which is harder, and just sitting around and like writing music on the piano all day that nobody is going to actually like, how is society better off?
Well, I mean, you know what? I guess you just performing to what you want to contribute to the community. Well, a doctor in communist Cuba, they get paid the same amount of money as and everybody else because you're just being a contributing and then you're receiving what everybody else gets.
So why would someone want to do a very difficult job like being a doctor when, so like if Colin had the option to either be a doctor or to just make random music and art all day, why would he choose to be a doctor? Like, that would take a lot more effort. If he's going to get paid the same amount of money either way, where is the incentive to do something more productive?
Well, the incentive is for your common, your brother, and then your country, and then you, that love for the commune of your country,
yeah.
To serve other people.
I don't think anybody here actually understood what I was getting at, which was it's not that I don't care about people or don't like people or wouldn't want to help them. It's also, how do I know what people really need or want? So I have an option between, you know, like let's say being a doctor or writing the music. How am I going to know how much doctoring I need to do? For instance, I could be a doctor for 1 hour, or I could be a doctor for, you know, 40 hours a week, but I could also push myself really hard, like, you know, and do it for 80 hours a week. And so the question is, how much doctoring needs to be provided for people, you know? And we don't have a way of, like, determining that if there's not, like, freedom of exchange.
No, I mean, those are things that you would come out of your conscience of, like, we need help with this, we need help with that, would you like to contribute? I mean, wouldn't it be common sense for somebody to, like, I'm going to do most of my time doctoring and maybe a little bit of time doing music because that's what I'm best to be of service to my community.
Well, one thing
help
I have to ask
else and,
Sarah, is have you ever paid attention to any other communist countries? Like, have you listened to the rest of this show at all, where we were describing how communism has created such poverty in Argentina?
Well, okay, what about the U.S. sanctions? You know,
the U.S. doesn't have any sanctions against, yeah, Argentina.
Argentina has no sanctions.
Well, you know, that they, okay, so I don't know, but I don't believe that it's the communist format that makes really a poverty. They blame that. But it's all the imposed sanctions. If you trade with Argentina, like if you, Cuba and Mexico trade with and they found out, they'll do an embargo on that country to make the communism fail over and over again.
Well, I mean, the United States isn't forcing Mexico not to trade with Cuba. You could buy Cuban cigars in Mexico. That's where most, a lot of people go to get them. So it's really just the U.S. that has an embargo against Cuba. I'm not even sure if any other countries do right now, Scott.
No, there's no other countries. In the U.S., it's kind of an embargo, but it's, you can still give them aid. You can still give them free stuff. It's you just can't do some commerce with them. But we had a lady that was in my apartment complex, and she didn't even know English in here, and she lived here 30 years, and she didn't make much money at all. I did her taxes, I know, and She was about as poor as you can get in the United States. She's Colombian citizen, so she could go to Cuba She went to Cuba thinking in December, thinking it would be a great tropical vacation. And she cried the whole time because she was so poor. She said that they had no toilet paper. They had no, like people weren't wearing shoes. I mean, she could like everything is decayed, and she like making like less than $15,000 a year in the U.S. felt like she's the richest person in Cuba. And, it was just it, like the food was like, you know, was decayed. So like she's just in shock. And she grew up in, you know, Colombia when it was having its troubles with the narcos too. So it's like, it's just like, no, it doesn't work. And there's many economists that it will explain to you why it works beyond just the incentives, the knowledge problem, the economic coordination problem, you know. So it's tanked Argentina to an extreme degree, and you know, it's empirically it's failed everywhere. It's killed 100 million people.
Hey, Sarah, if you have anything to say to Scott about what he just said, go ahead. But then I've got kind of a question for you.
Oh, I already hung up on Sarah.
Oh, you did? Oh.
We have other callers to listen to. And I felt like we made our point to Sarah because she doesn't listen. She only repeats what she believes.
Well, that's true. I have the hope that maybe it'll reach someone else. You know, like maybe that back and forth will kind of reach someone else that's listening to the show or just catching it on the radio or whatever.
Exactly.
I could say this because I'll still say it for anybody in the audience to hear.
Yeah.
I'd say this to anybody who, you know, calls themselves a communist. You know, one, how many people need to do the communism with you in order for it to work? That's the first question. Is it 10 people? Is it 100 people? Is it 1,000? How many people are going to have to do it with you? And then the second thing is, what are you doing in and of yourself to do your own communism? There's nothing stopping you from sharing with people and helping people all that you want. The problem is when you're going to have to force other people into this system, and that's always the issue with it. And I tell people all the time, I mean, like, I'm living my life here in New Hampshire doing all the libertarian things to the best of my ability. You know, I live within the community up here. I use as many alternative currencies as I can. I do business primarily with the people in the community, only a little bit with the outside. You know, I'm living everything that I want to be living right now, and I don't think there's anything that stops you and a bunch of other communists from just getting together and go forming a commune. I mean, you might still have to pay a little bit of property tax if you're in the U.S., but you could just go form your own commune if you want. And I would tell every single communist to do that. Can you please, please just stop voting on violence and force against me, telling me the things that I have to do? You know, the doctor example is really good because, you know, how many doctors do we need? Okay, let's say somebody goes to school and they're a doctor. Well, how much doctoring are they going to be forced to do for other people? And she said, oh, well, they'll just realize how much they need to do. I mean, I don't know. Well, how do we put I don't want to say price because that's bringing it back to money, which confuses a lot of people, but how much effort needs to go into it? You know, we need people to have prices so that they can see what the value of things is and know how much doctoring it is to do. Because, you know, here's the thing. You might say, oh, a doctor should have a 40-hour work week, but that's not the only way to organize life. A doctor could have an 80-hour work week. If he's making enough money, he could pay people to do things for him, like have a maid and have a cook and have a, and now he can actually be super productive at 80 hours a week, as you know, given that example. Sorry.
Well, we do have another caller who specifically said they had a question for the guests. So, caller, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's your boy, the evolutionary capitalist, Young Skeet. Hey, anarcho-capitalism and more broadly, all of libertarianism has perverted the concepts of true capitalism and the great work of the classical economists. Why are you ANCAPs always trying to fix democracy? Has it ever occurred to you that fiscal failure is the true cure to the disease of democracy? I might advocate for Malay if he would just repudiate and default on the debt, then implement my vision of the crypto reputation system that eventually would even make Bitcoin obsolete. Then he should commit suicide.
Okay, well, that's gross. I don't like you saying that on the air.
You know, Scott might actually disagree with me on this, but I would have actually been totally fine if he just, you know, repudiated the debt and just started on a fresh a fresh thing. I mean, what he's doing is way more work than is maybe necessary for somebody to do in that position. I mean, I liken it to he's doing, like, kind of the right thing to just show, like, how serious it is. You know, I guess I'm not right really putting that into the words I want to, but whatever.
Here's why I think that he can't repudiate the debt. Why is they do have a lot of people that are paid by the government. Their medical system is all government funded, so they do have a lot of people working for the government. And if you just ended all of this, it would be it would cause an unbelievable amount of chaos, and there's other problems too. That would just drive the country to hyperinflation. It would just be a huge mess, and he wouldn't survive that politically.
Yeah, maybe not.
Skeeter's another resident troll who just says crazy things that he's made up, and he really sucks, so I hung up on him. We do have Alu Axelman from libertyblock.com on the line. Alu, did you have a question for the guests about, you know, Argentina, or did you want to change the topic?
Could you slow down a little bit when you speak, too?
Yes, and it's great to hear the great Scott Scheller on the show. And my question for him and his wife, I guess, is Javier Milei wrote a bunch of books. I think they're all in Espanol. Is there one that's the best in Espanol or English that would be a good intro to read about free market economics, his Austrian economic philosophy?
Some of his books are just on Argentina politics. So he's got some on inflation. He's got some on. By the way, they're all in Spanish so far. They haven't been translated to English, which is if you're an entrepreneur, you could probably make some good money translating these. But he does have one like Ron Paul, like a basic economics. So where he has basic concepts, and that's the one that I would refer people to. I don't remember the name, but there's an introductory book, like kind of like In the Fed or the Ron Paul's Revolution that Millet has. The rest of them are sometimes more technical, are more pointed towards Argentina, and that sort of thing.
So Alu, has our show tonight gotten you any more excited about Javier Milei? Were you a fan before? Were you a fence sitter? What do you feel about him?
No, I was a big fan of him. I only started following him the last few months. I did, and I wrote an article for libertyblock.com when he won. I was super excited. Plus, I was like tentatively skeptical and tentatively optimistic, and it seems like he has been doing some really, really good things and staying pretty principled despite being president of one of the biggest countries in the world, which is incredible.
Right.
And I love that he says anarchist, he says libertarian. It's amazing that he says those words.
It is really amazing. 603-283-6160. Thank you, Scott, for being on tonight and explaining to us about Argentina and how we got here today. We have an anarcho-capitalist president in Argentina. 603-283-6160. One more segment coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. You should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA News Update. The Federal Reserve has opted to maintain current interest rates, postponing any potential rate cuts until later in the year. Another meeting is scheduled for March. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson declares that a bipartisan border bill anticipated to clear the Senate is unlikely to progress in the House. During his inaugural floor speech as Speaker, Johnson accused the Biden administration of attempting to transfer responsibility for the border crisis to Congress.
Since President Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas assumed office, there have been more than 7 million encounters with illegal aliens just at our southern border alone.
Johnson says President Biden does not need congressional approval to close the border. Israel's military is receiving criticism for its recent strategy aimed at preventing Hamas from utilizing its approximately 350 miles of underground tunnels in Gaza. The approach involves flooding those tunnels. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Sorry.
I think we're back.
Here, okay, yeah. Well, okay, bye, Scott.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Alex Jones.
And,
oh, sorry, Colin.
And Nikki.
You could have done Alex Jones the rest of the segment, couldn't you?
I mean, I am actually here in the room right now, folks, okay? I've got to tell you, I'm going to think that I'm going to have to eat my neighbors.
Oh, my God.
Go look it up, folks. You'll love it.
I hadn't seen that before, but I guess a lot
of
people...
I'll show you afterwards.
But apparently Alex Jones thinks he's going to have to eat his neighbors, and honestly, I don't blame him. After hearing the last show we just did with Scott talking about hyperinflation and when that comes to America...
You know, it's surprising how bad the communism stuff could be. You know, just look up the Holodomor, which is what the Russians did to the Ukrainians, and, you know, eating people is not off the table. But they forget you go
and
through
now.
The pets first.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. So that's what made her sad. Wow. No, I'm just teasing.
That's where Bonnie draws the line. Is pets? No.
No, I also said during Mao also they were like eating each other. Like they didn't want to eat their own children because that's too sad. So they were eating their neighbor's children and trading.
Oh, well, that's a little better.
Yeah, it's much better.
You know what sucks this time around though? You know, with all the jabs, you know, I'm not going to want to eat that meat.
No. Contaminated.
That's the worst part about the coming zombie apocalypse. We're not going to actually, you know, want to eat them.
Well, I think that the world is just getting weirder and weirder, and evidence of that is a Southern New Hampshire diaper spa. Have you guys heard about this?
I
feel like you've heard about it, Colin.
Oh, what's that? What is a diaper spa? I guess I need to ask first.
Have you heard of the what is it, the DDLG movement?
I don't know what that is. It's like a
sex fetish thing. What does it stand for? Daddy, Dom, and Little Girl.
Oh.
Where, like, it gets weird. I've gone into some YouTube rabbit holes with some of this content just because...
Sounds like you shouldn't admit to that on the air.
It's like a car accident, right?
That's the kind of thing that sounds like you don't want the FBI to hear you.
Nobody told her to look it up, though. She's just like, huh, I wonder if... And she forgot the number one rule of the internet. It exists.
Yeah. It's like a car accident, right? You're like, oh, this is horrific. But you're like, but yeah, it's still so...
I can't believe it's real.
Yeah. And it is real. And apparently there's enough of a community, I guess you could... It's enough of a thing where there is one of these diaper spas in Nashua. Apparently.
In Nashua, that's where it is. I keep hearing Southern New Hampshire. So I'm like,
is
it Keene?
No, it makes sense that it's in Nashua. That's like the weirdo place of New Hampshire.
It does make a lot more sense. I mean, if it was
nothing weird in Keene.
Definitely just us.
If it was in Keene, more people would be like, what the heck is going on? Like,
there's
it's a small enough town.
I think it's like, there's less of a market over here.
Probably.
I wouldn't think there would be a market anywhere around here.
Right.
Or just like, period. I thought this was, because previously, it's like the furries thing, right? It's like weird... obscure kinks like that are usually like best kept to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if you want to do like underground, but very rarely do people.
Wait, are people paying for this?
Oh,
apparently, yeah.
Huh, I might.
So essentially, what it is, I don't know
I do
if the
like
article
money.
Gets into it, but
you know, with communism, how are we going to know how many diaper spas we need and how many diapers per person? You know, these are the questions we can't answer with communism.
The diapers according to your need, and
do you have to share the diapers? Because in communism, you would share things, right? No.
Just from the goodness of your heart, you would share the diapers.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Well, let's get into it. This is from Boston.com. Didn't even know there was such a thing. It says, what's a diaper spa, and why is it raising eyebrows in New Hampshire? I can't believe it's New Hampshire. Like, why would you just decide, like, where am I going to open my diaper spa? New Hampshire.
They must be
on the border, Nashua.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
There must be one somewhere else. So New Hampshire can't be, like, the first place. You know what I mean?
That would be hilarious. It says, people tend to fear anything that they fail to comprehend, said the owner of the diaper spa, a new business that's stoking local controversy. And the other thing is, like, you're stoking local controversy on purpose with a name like the diaper spa.
Well, I'm curious how spa-like it is. Is it like you feel like it's a diaper retreat or something?
Well, because when you think about it, I guess the whole point of this is they pretend that they're children. Which is very problematic because then it gets you like major pedophile vibes.
Right.
Seriously.
I mean,
so, and it doesn't just, I know like the DDLG thing is like with the female as the baby, but there also are men who wear giant onesies and giant adult diapers and put pacifiers in their mouths. And they pretend that they're babies, and then they have some person come take care of them, and you know what I mean? Like, people get really, really into it. And it is. It's just like, why are you aroused by that? Because I do think it's a sexual thing.
I mean, I do
too. So I don't know why they're, like, sexually into that. Like, it's very problematic, I think.
I feel like it obviously has to be sexual if you're wearing a diaper, but... People are saying, oh, it's not sexual. Don't think of it as a kink. It's not.
I mean,
it's just therapy.
No, I wouldn't want my kids around these people.
Right.
No.
And I just have to agree.
I don't want to be around them either as an adult. Definitely.
I'll have to tell you, we have one in the community.
Do we?
Really?
Yeah. I'm not going to say
Colin knows everything.
I do.
Yeah, Colin has the juicy gossip.
You guys, this is the first time I've ever been on the show. I've been living in the state for like over 10 years. Well, maybe it's less than 10 years. But I'm the one that got TJ to come here.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes, because we knew each other out in Missouri. And actually, I'm used to arguing with like liberals and communists, but I converted him.
From a communist?
He wasn't a communist. He was just a liberal. Yeah. Yeah, so now you have to call into the show and set us straight, right, TJ?
Oh, I hope TJ's listening. I just love TJ so much. TJ the Spy, he's a co-host of the show, for those of you that don't listen. He was here for the first FBI raid on this building that we're in. I'm really grateful for Colin for bringing him here. I just love TJ so much, and I want him to move back.
Glowing review.
Oh, yeah, he's, like, one of my favorite people. Like, whenever TJ's around, I'm like, yeah, I'm going through, like, my husband's court trial date stuff, but everything's fine because TJ's here.
I'm, like, literally imagining his voice, I'd respond, but I don't think I could do his voice or I'd be doing an impression of him right now.
Oh, Bonnie.
That's exactly, yeah. Oh, Bonnie. Now here, Bonnie, just come over here. What else would he say? I have a story about one time something like this happened when the government was coming after me.
And I said
to them, and then he said something really crazy and outrageous, which he didn't say. He's just saying that he said it, you know.
So how did we segue from the diaper spa to TJ?
Because I said Colin knows everything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Colin said that we...
I was about to say, is he the...
No,
is
no.
The what?
The diaper wearer.
Yeah.
Oh, me?
No.
What? No, what do you mean? Is he who?
No, TJ, because you just randomly brought up TJ.
No, I was just bringing up people that I know and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I guess Jay mentions my name on every other show, apparently.
Oh, really?
Well, people tell me. I don't listen to the show. I know, I'm bad.
You're a frequent mention
I guess so, because people tell
me. I'm on with him, but I feel like if he mentions you, it's like he talks about like this person that lives at my... I feel like he doesn't mention you by name.
No, he's apparently said like my full name many times.
Yeah, social security number and everything.
Well,
you know,
for some
address.
Reason, I knew your last name, and I didn't know how I knew it, so maybe that is true.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, most of the audience doesn't know your real name. Because everybody here has a fake name, you know, Bonnie Freeman, you know.
That's not fake. That's my real name.
No. Her real name is Bertha. Everybody knows
it. Oh, that's what Bonnie stands for.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to figure it out because we knew it stood for something. But
yeah, everybody thinks
we just weren't quite sure.
Now that I'm on the show, I need a fake name. So yeah, I'm going to go with Colin the Colonist, you know, because everybody else has Freeman. You know, yeah, I'll take your resources and I'll subjugate your people. But
there
you'll be left with really wonderful colonial architecture when it's all done.
Oh,
amazing.
My God.
Thank you for that.
Well, apparently diaper wearers are colonizing New Hampshire. I can't believe that I might know someone who is one of these people, but we do have a caller on the line, and it is a call-in talk radio show, so...
Are they calling about the diapers?
I wonder if
it's the owner of the place, this is brilliant, because they're going to get so much, you know, attention right now.
I don't think it is. It's David in New Mexico. So, David, what's on your mind?
Lots of stuff, Bonnie. It's crazy.
Is that something I say? He always says this. So do I say that's crazy a lot?
Well, you used to. Now that I started using it, you stopped. So apparently I should go. I should open a business for people that want to modify their vocabulary or something. Cause
that would be hilarious if I stopped doing it just because of that, because that would be like purely subconscious. I didn't really realize this till now.
This guy sounds
so
familiar to me.
And it's painless.
So what's actually on your mind, David?
One thing, but because you just talked about it a minute ago, I think it's sad that Americans have taken names that are not ugly and made them ugly, like Bertha and Hilda. Whereas the origin
pretty,
of
right?
The
name...
No, yeah, I'm totally looking for a European girl with one of those names. That's the girl for me.
Not Bertha, but...
Gertrude.
Gertrude and...
Strong, hardy.
Hilda are pretty, but not Bertha.
But no, you're wrong, Bonnie. And my grandfather's sister was Gertrude. But anyway, if you like Bertha, if you say it the way that it originated in Europe,
Bertha.
It would be something to be.
Bertha.
Bertha.
Yeah, be something to the effect of bail.
Well, they do say that English is an ugly, like, hard language, right? It's like English and German. Well, English has German roots, right? So, but then there's, like, Italian and Spanish and French that are, like, very flowy and they sound good. And then English is just very hard and...
Well, the French messed up English, so...
Did they?
Yeah, they... I'm not joking. They came in and changed it so much, and that's why it's, like, hard now. Like, people who are trying to learn English who don't already speak it say, like, oh, my God, like, the word enough, E.
Oh, you mean, like, difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's why we have all this, like, confusing stuff in English.
I could talk about languages for, like, a good while, but, you know...
But I think David wanted to talk about diapers, right?
It depends.
Of course. Yeah. Shows how much I know about that. I when you said diaper spa, I expected we were going back into the cloth versus disposable diaper issue. That's where I thought you were going with that. And I should have just turned the radio off then and maintained that fantasy. Then I wouldn't have had to been dragged into the other perverted
fantasy
I'm going to have tonight. But no, I wanted to talk about the economy.
Okay.
And I have a question, a proposition, and you can, I don't know anything about it, but this is just my, what occurred to me. So evaluate this. The question of hyperinflation, like you might have in Argentina or elsewhere, mm-hmm. or even here, momentarily, actually we're probably in it right now to a lower degree, but.
Technically speaking, no.
No to what question?
To hyperinflation. Hyperinflation has a couple of definitions that have been given to it, and one definition is related to when the velocity of money speeds up, which is basically how fast people are trying to get rid of it, like the mm-hmm. how little they want to hold on to it. And so there's a definition based on that, and then there's another one based. This is just an arbitrary number, which is why I don't like the second definition, and I forget the arbitrary number because it's arbitrary, but it's something like if it's over X number of percent a day, but that's really high. So, like, technically speaking, Argentina right now does not have hyperinflation. They just have high inflation. Yeah. But anyways,
okay,
that's yeah, my but, little... Now everybody knows.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for that. That helps. And so back to the question that I have. If you actually were fearing or actually suffering hyperinflation, doesn't each individual, if they prepare enough in advance, have the ability to have that the hyperinflation be negligible on themselves by, for instance, if they prior, you know, with forethought, prior to any hyperinflation event, having converted their fiat money into real money like, mm-hmm. Metals or crypto that works or whatever else, and then then only deal in that currency and only deal with vendors that take that currency. So with the exception that if you have to deal with a vendor that only takes fiat, then you convert your real money into the fiat just to the amount to cover what you need to buy from the vendor that only takes the fiat. But other than that, remain in real money. Couldn't you circumvent the effects of hyperinflation?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because when the inflation takes, and I'm no economist here, I've just listened to and studied tons of Austrian economics, so that's where I'm coming from with all this. When the hyperinflation hits, not only does the money that you hold not have value, all sorts of other things in society are going to be like kind of breaking down. So it's not going to be the same thing as like, if you took whatever the price of, a cheeseburger is in silver today, you'd be able to buy the same thing. It could be less, it could be more. It's going to really depend. I think the best thing people can do is popularize those monies now. And I don't see any reason why people can't start using those now. I actually get paid in goldbacks, I get paid in silver, and I get paid in crypto. And I like, only need so many dollars just to like purchase the materials I use for any one of the things that I do for work. But
right,
yeah. So I mean, I would say like if you like those things, I mean, really, and this is the thing. A lot of prepper type people would be like, oh, now I'm telling everybody know that I have these things. And they don't know how much you have, but you need to get people used to using them and trading with them, so that way it's a seamless transition. Because I can literally see it happen. Well, not literally. I could see it happen where, like, the dollar collapses and you go to, someplace, so like a McDonald's, whatever, and you take in a silver or a gold coin and you try to give that to the person there, and they're like, oh, I don't know what this is.
No, that actually happens.
Let me blow your analogy, though, because nobody – I haven't gone to McDonald's for 15 years.
Or whatever it is, but yeah.
Yep.
But it's real. It's important because you said McDonald's. first of all, nobody should be going to McDonald's now.
Yes.
And if the S hits the fan in that economic sense, I don't think anybody who has a gold coin is going to even cross their mind to go to a McDonald's.
Yeah.
I think they
that was just an example.
Yeah,
I don't think you need it. Insert any other, like, grocery store or whatever.
And it's true because, like,
service.
Ian and I will go and try to give a tip to somebody at, like, any restaurant, a nice restaurant, doesn't matter, and ask the waiter, like, do you like gold? Do you want this on top of your tip? Like, not, like, skimping on the cash tip or anything.
No, just like, here's a free gold bag.
And lots of time they're like, wow, this is cool. And sometimes they're like, I don't even know what I would do with this.
I remember once, I think it was Bonnie's birthday, we were out to dinner, and Ian tried to give the waitress, she was a younger girl, tried to give the waitress gold back on top of her tip. And in addition, it wasn't taking anything away. She looked like she was terrified of it. It was like, she was like, what is that? Like, why she couldn't even, and then it's like, okay, never mind. Clearly you don't understand the value of this thing. I don't want you to just, like, throw it in the trash or something. But, you know, so it is true. Like, you can have Bitcoin, you can have Dash, you can have gold backs, whatever. But if the people in your community don't know what they are, they don't understand them, they don't understand the value, even if the U.S. dollar doesn't have any value, they still, like, it's still worthless. It's only worth as much as...
You just illustrated another point that I had, and so since you brought it up, let me go on that. I like to say those people don't matter, because what you do is within the circle that is hip to whatever you're doing, whatever you're using that works or may work or will work or has worked, you do your own thing and let those people suffer. And when they suffer just a little bit, they'll be motivated to say, hey, what's this thing you got going on that makes it so that you can eat and I can't?
Or they'll just try to kill you.
But still, like, my point is that will only work if you're in a community where you could exchange whatever currency or good you have
I'm not exactly understanding what David's point is. What are you asking, or wanting clarification or whatever?
The point is that you can't, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can't herd those cats. So let those cats get starve enough that they get hungry enough that they now have some interest to pay attention to why it is that you guys are eating and they're not. And then they'll be motivated to come ask you, how are you doing that? Show me. I want to eat too.
Yeah, maybe I guess, that's how it'll work. I think that depends on, like, the culture of the people you're around just in general. And, I mean, I think that definitely was the culture that the U.S. had, you know, maybe 100 years ago, where people would have done that. I don't know what they'll do now.
Hunger is a huge motivator.
Yeah, but is it a positive motivation or a negative motivation? Because some people get hungry.
I think it's a positive one because... If I'm hungry and I got nothing because I didn't I don't know, and I'm looking over at you and you guys are sitting down to dinner, I'm like, man, how do I do that?
Yeah, well, that's you, but some people might, like, want to kill each other. Like, I really think that New Hampshire probably won't be as bad as, like, New Mexico. But, like, when people are starving, I think they're going
to
go and try to kill people.
Yeah, I have to tell you, driving around the country, I like Arizona better than New Mexico. I hope you're not going to get too mad about that.
I mean, I drove the nastiest part of Arizona I've ever seen. It was seriously, like, I didn't know there was such a third world area in the United States in Arizona. But still, overall, Arizona's way better. And New Mexico's kind of borderline that third world.
I think I know which part of Arizona you're talking about. Was it Kingman?
I don't know, because me and my dad just drove through it from when I was
just trying to get the callers from Kingman to call in now.
I don't think people have any phones. I don't know. Unless they're Obama phones or something.
Yes.
In response, just like Nikki did, Bonnie, you just touched on another thing. So what I have to say about the people that would come, instead of asking you, how are you doing that you're eating, I want to do that too, that's one set of people. The people, the kind of people that would actually not think to ask you, but first attack you for your food, then, you know, what's the survival of the fittest? That just happens, and those people go away, and you don't have to deal with them anymore.
Hmm.
Pardon?
Yeah, they'll get shot for trying to fight.
It depends how the breakdown happens. So, I mean, I've had these conversations with so many people over the years, and I've kind of gamed them in my own mind with an open mind as to what, how it could go and why it goes one way versus the other. But I'll kind of give you some examples. So, like, you know, in the Soviet Union, you know, the government took over. They actually outlawed money for a while. People don't even talk about that. They didn't have money. And because they didn't have money, like I was talking about, how many hours should I be a doctor, whatever, people in the city were taking their houses apart and burning that for warmth in the winter because there was no way to price coordinate to get wood in from the countryside. Yeah. But after that initial part and all of that stuff, you know, like they would send those people from the city out into the country to go after. So it was in my mind, this wasn't just like one thing led to the other. I think it was all intentional. And so those people were spurred by the government and sent out to go after the other people who were still doing well because the farmers were still eating. And so, I mean, I think that kind of thing, you know, could happen anywhere in the world. You know, the question is, do the people come to you and ask you how they're doing it, or do they just band together? You know, another question is, do you want to be in a place where the currency is doing that? If you have enough foresight to save, maybe you have enough foresight to avoid it, you know, altogether.
But by what? By how? By what?
I mean, just being in a different place, you know.
Where?
I mean, not all of the world is going to go through the hyperinflation that the U.S. might go through with the collapsing dollar.
True, but couldn't you insulate yourself almost anywhere by the other system that we talked about by thinking ahead and having real things? And then when you need having primarily real things, and if you don't have enough fiat, then you trade some of your real things for just enough fiat to pay the person who will only take fiat. Isn't that a better solution? Because that way you don't have to keep moving around the world. You can remain in place short of total chaos.
Well, the question is, does it go to total chaos or not? I mean, not every...
We already know the answer to that question.
Well, I mean, I gave you one example, which was the Soviet Union, but not all countries went to, let's say, total chaos. I mean, the hyperinflation in Germany, I mean, later on you get Hitler, but in the immediate time you didn't have people going around and, like, killing each other or doing things like that because there was enough of a culture and a community there that the people were a part of.
There's an expression, whether you've heard it or not, that you might find helpful that comes out of Germany, and that was, quote, even the cows had earrings, end quote, if you understand that quote.
No.
I don't quite get it, but it is kind of funny. Go ahead.
It means that people from the city who didn't have food were taking their jewelry to the countryside and trading their jewelry for food, and the people in the countryside had so much gold and pearl and diamond jewelry that even the cows were wearing earrings.
You know, that's a play, though, that the people in the countryside make, expecting the things to go back to normal, too. So if you're not expecting things to go back to normal, I mean, I know I have a bunch of stories, one within my own family, but some from other people I know, like a person from Vietnam, and their family had a gold coin, which, you know, they had to trade it for a loaf of bread as they were leaving. That's all the value they could get out of it. But that's still better than nothing.
Well, thank you so much for the interesting conversation, David. And Free Talk Live is on at freetalklive.com, and we're going to be on live again tomorrow. So go to freetalklive.com. Peace.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.